95 North, just after New Kings, there has been a really bad accident. Currently, all the lanes are shut down, and we're seeing lots of backup there. I-95 South at Golf Area, another wreck. And if you're on I-10, you'll see slowdowns beginning at Cassett as you go east this morning. Mostly cloudy today with a high of around 85 this evening. Lots of rain and thunderstorms early in the evening. Overnight, the low 62, and right now it's 65 at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Over the last 2 years, more than 15 million people in the U.S. have quit using Facebook over concerns of privacy. A proposed constitutional amendment that would raise Florida's minimum wage has cleared its first hurdle. And President Trump's 2020 budget calls for trillions in cuts over 10 years.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed at wbob.com.
Presidential harassment. Hey, good morning, Ed Dean. Roger Henderson, 3 minutes after 8 a.m. Y'all gotten adjusted to the time change? Don't complain about losing an hour's sleep, okay, folks? You'll make it up.
You can't say anything to me and Ed. We wake up really early every day.
I mean, Roger made it up in church yesterday morning. So anyway, that's a little joke there. Anyways, 222-TALK, 904-222-8255. Yes, presidential harassment. That's the new term. Byron York from the Washington Examiner says that's what's going to take place over the next couple of years with President Trump, as we all know what this is about when it comes to investigations. Mm-hmm. It's about 2020. And if Trump's popularity isn't so strong, why would you do all these investigations in order not to ensure and maybe weaken him for the 2020 election? Even the left, ABC, or NBC, what's the difference? NBC, MSNBC, AM, Joy Reid says, why are we waiting on the Mueller investigation? We need just to embarrass President Trump to talk about what's been going on and to talk about also how we need to expose him.
Other than you, to be blunt.
Yes.
Members of Congress, including Democrats, will not discuss impeachment, even though impeachment would be the public hearings that would allow the public to know what you are learning. And they're waiting on the Mueller probe. It's all being hung on Robert Mueller. Is that fair to the American people to only allow the Mueller probe to be decisive rather than initiating an impeachment hearing so that the public could find out what you guys know?
Did you guys hear that? Is it fair to the American people that the Mueller probe is the only thing that should impeach President Trump? I thought this was the main focus of impeaching President Trump was about Russia collusion.
Yeah, our government said, boy, we pick our leaders through the election process, not through removing the person because we don't like his policies.
Right.
You know, and then you trying to find an impeachment excuse to do so. All that's going to do really is heighten his popularity, I believe, and make him even stronger in 2020 if they go down that path.
Well, Maxine Waters has the answer. The real reason why we need to impeach President Trump, she says, because all he does is just undermine the Constitution.
I believe in the Constitution, and the Constitution gives us the authority and the responsibility to decide whether or not a president is acting in the best interest of his country. This president is not. As far as I'm concerned, he has enough violations. He's been involved in a lot of activity that we believe needs to be made apparent. And so I believe that we have everything that it needs to basically impeach him. The American people should be depending on the people that they elected to represent them to determine whether or not this president is undermining the Constitution, whether or not he's acting in our best interest.
So here's a question. Some of my actually, we had some conservatives call up in the last hour.
Mm-hmm.
Mike said, hey, I think the president, because I'm a conservative, he goes, I think the president's undermined the Constitution through executive orders. He says, I think the president's undermined the Constitution with the National Declaration of Emergency dealing with Border Patrol. He says, I think the president is undermining the Constitution with his proposals of DACA and immigration and guns. Did you agree with that assessment? 222-TALK, 222-8255. I'm still waiting for Maxine to sit back and ask the question. Just tell me what areas has the president undermine the Constitution. If you want to talk about people that have undermined Constitution, you would probably eliminate about 80% of Congress.
So here's the deal. You know, as I understand the law, if there has been a specific thing that has not been constitutional, that's where the courts can step in and overturn it. The impeachment is for high crimes and misdemeanors.
Right.
Has the president committed high crimes
while you're in office?
While you are in office, that were essentially treasonous toward America, and if that's the case, then of course you want to impeach, but we don't have any of that information.
How many of y'all remember the term in the 70s, welfare queen? Oh, That's a racist comment. Alexandria Cortez says that's what Ronald Reagan used to say in order to divide this country.
Special interests and the powerful have pitted white working class Americans against brown and black working class Americans in order to just screw over all working class Americans. Is Reaganism in the 80s when he started talking about welfare queens. Mm-hmm. So you think about this image, welfare queens. And what he was really trying to talk about was this, he was painting this photo, he's painting this like really resentful vision of essentially black women who were doing nothing, that were sucks on our country.
Right.
Because this one specific group of people that you were already kind of subconsciously primed to resent.
How many of y'all know whether, I'm going to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Give me the answer. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Tell me where the term welfare queen was used and why was it used? 222-TALK, 222-8255. Is R. Kelly going to be the next Jussie Smollett?
Probably he's in more bigger trouble than Jussie Smollett could ever dream of.
Because I think, 50 accusers are coming from to R. Kelly, and he's denying them all.
Yeah, I think R. Kelly's probably in worse shape than Bill Cosby at this point.
I guess we're going to have to put him back in the closet.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's a good one.
Got a song, yeah. Hey, folks, do you think Facebook, Twitter is a big monopoly? Should they be regulated more? Should we break up the monopolies? Some of my conservative listeners say, yeah. So does the liberal left, Elizabeth Warren.
But the reality is, it is not capitalism to have one giant that comes in and dominates, a monopolist that dominates a market. What I have supported all the way through are the kinds of things that help level the playing field.
Help level the playing field, according to Fox Business News' Deidre Bolton. She says, when you listen to Warren's policy, it goes further than just social high-tech media companies. They want to go after Amazon, and if I can use borrow a term, unmerge them from owning all the other companies out there.
Go through the three steps. She wants to apply new regulators to basically undo the mergers that we've seen or separate properties. So in other words, she wants to take Instagram and WhatsApp from Facebook. She wants to take Whole Foods away from Amazon. She wants to undo the Google Nest merger, which she wants to bar tech companies. And I feel like this is particularly focused on Amazon from providing a marketplace and then also selling products on that same marketplace.
Yeah.
You know, just as they're...
So they want to get over that. Democrats, well, let me ask, I mean, regulated, Roger? Do we need to unmerge it all? I mean, Facebook, is it a complete monopoly when it comes to social media out there? Do we just want to eliminate it?
You know, I don't see it as a monopoly. I mean, what is the definition of monopoly? They have stopped their competition. I don't see them having done that. And if anything, you know, if there is a concern that, you know, maybe there's not enough competition, there are other players in the game. There's YouTube. People have their YouTube channels. There's Instagram, also owned by Facebook. There's Twitter. Make them maybe talk across the platforms.
222-TALK. 904-222-8255. Talk radio WBOB.
I-95 south at Gulf Air this morning. There has been an accident. If you're at 10 east at Stockton, look out for a crash. It's on the right side. And 95 north at Butler Boulevard, a car has conked out. Big problem this morning at 295 north at New Kings, where all the lanes are blocked. It is a parking lot there this morning.
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Reisch Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Reisch Plumbing promises great work on time and does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click plumberinjax.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to jacksonville.com to vote Roland Reisch Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7, Roland Reisch Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Reisch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Reisch Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.
Ever wonder why Europeans seem to speak so many languages? Is it because they use Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in Europe? Babbel's award-winning technology gets you speaking right away, whether you're learning Spanish, French, or German. And best of all, you'll remember what you've learned.
I always thought I was bad at languages, but after using Babbel, I can tell you I was just taught the wrong way.
Using Babbel's 10 to 15 minute lessons, you can be speaking confidently in your new language within weeks.
I was amazed that I could start having real life conversations right away. It was so fast. Now I'm speaking Spanish. Woohoo!
No wonder Babbel is the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Try it for yourself and see why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language, like Spanish, French, or more. You can try Babbel for free. Go to Babbel.com or download the app and try it for free. That's Babbel, B-A-B-B-E-L.com, or download the app to try it for free. That's Babbel.com.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods, and I have some interesting information if you're interested in owning a quality diamond. We did some research on the internet to see how diamonds price on various websites like Blue Nile. What we found were diamonds of the same weight, color, clarity, had pretty different prices. Generally, that has something to do with how the diamonds cut, but the only way to see these diamonds was to buy them. So we did a price comparison on the diamonds we could tell were nicely cut, and what we found was our prices for beautifully cut Underwood diamonds were the same as theirs. So if you're interested in diamonds and want real expert help, real quality and value, and don't want to pay just to look at a diamond, come by Underwoods. And remember, when a diamond comes from us, you get all the services, assurances, and guarantees the people of North Florida have learned to expect for over 80 years. At Underwoods, our brand is a promise, and it's one we keep. In San Marco, Avondale, and the shops of Ponte Vedra.
Cloudy and warm today. Our high will be 85 degrees this evening. Lots of rain and thunderstorms are expected early in the evening. 62 the overnight low, and right now it's 65 at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9, Dennis Prager at noon. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The DeSantis administration says they're looking at ways to cut the red tape when it comes to occupational licensing in Florida. Democrats propose breaking up high-tech monopolies. And the latest jobs report was weaker than expected. Economists still say in 2019, still a good year for the consumer.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed at wbob.com.
As just reported by Roger, the governor says, I really want to reduce the red tape when it comes to those that want to obtain a license to come work here in the state of Florida. Many of you have been emailing me, why do I need the government's permission to go work?
You know, when I got in radio, I was in, 9th, 10th grade, and they used to require us to take this test with all types of information on there that had nothing to do with playing the latest song from Sister Sledge at the time. We had to know the different distress calls, if a ship was sinking, or whether or not it was just dead in the water, please send the Coast Guard, all these other things.
Sister Sledge. Yeah. I remember the song Sister Took a Sledge, yeah.
But that was deregulated, and now we don't have to take that test, and I think DeSantis is going down the right path.
Governor Ron DeSantis says, while eye surgeons and airline pilots should certify their competence, here's a question I'd like to ask you. What do you think about this morning? Why do nail polishers and boxing timekeepers need Tallahassee's permission to work?
What's a boxing timekeeper?
I have no clue.
Does that have to do with the sport of boxing?
Why do nail polishers need? And folks, I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm really asking this. Mm-hmm. Why do we need all of this hours for a nail technician? Why the governor's office has also said 1,200 hour training requirements for new barbers. Why do hairstylists need it? So those of you in the business, or what I mean, CDL license, the financial industry, are we overdoing the amount of requirement to obtain? This is not a college education. We're talking about obtaining a license here. Is this overkill? Do we need to have all of these extra amount of hours there? Roger kind of may have an interesting point. Some people would still keep it in place because it's our competition.
Well, here's the deal. Maybe the state of Florida has a vested interest with our tourist economy being so important for all Floridians to look good when they're out in public.
That's a nice little thing. That's a good one. But so here's the question. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Florida's one of the worst states, number 5 in the country, some reports say, when it comes to occupational licensing. Do we need to have all this extra amount of hours? If you want to become a hair braider, mm-hmm. a hairdresser, in the financial world, mm-hmm. do you need all of these extra hours? And I'm asking on both sides, tell me why you need them, or is it overkill? Why is it doing somebody's hair should require more hours of schooling than it comes when it's somebody's personal finances.
You know, my guess is the argument they will make was that they're dealing with a lot of chemicals. If you're getting a young lady a relaxer, you're going to be dealing with lye and other chemicals you're putting in the hair. You don't want to use too much to cause skin damage, maybe, and they need to understand what the chemicals can do, especially if you're mixing the chemical for the relaxer with the chemical to dye your hair blonde. Maybe that's it.
All right. I don't know. I'd like to hear from you. Do we need all these extra amount of hours when it just comes to get an occupational license? And tell me an area where you think is probably I'm always curious to hear from you. Tell me an area where it's over-regulated, or to you, the listener, tell me an area where you think we're not regulating enough when it comes to occupational licenses. 222-TALK, 904-222-8255. House Democrats last week passed a measure that would allow illegal aliens to vote, guess where? Right here in Jacksonville, but many municipalities, not only in Florida, but since we're based out of Jacks. According to some of the reports out there, it's called For the People Act. Haven't we heard that before? Championed by Democrats. One would allow supporting cities like Jacksonville the right to allow non-citizens to vote. It would also enact online voter registration or automatic registration without any proper photo ID. Another move that they want to do, Roger, is the day you register to vote, within that same week or that same day, you should be able to vote.
And the same people who are concerned about the Russians hacking into our systems and throwing our elections off, this is going to make it really easy to undermine and compromise our voting process.
So here's an interesting question. Is this all about transparency? If you register to vote, should we lessen the requirements, or have we already lessened the requirements too much? Should we make it much stricter when it comes to the people's right to vote? 222-TALK, 222-8255. And what about allowing, now, is it illegal? There is a difference between non-citizens and illegal aliens. Yeah. I mean, the two can be lumped into one, but if you're here legally, you're not, you can be as a non-citizen. So the Democrats are advocating that maybe those people, if they work here in Jacksonville, maybe they should be able to vote.
Maybe, you know, I still don't feel good about it because they're not American citizens, but maybe they're on the path to citizenship, and maybe the congressman in Washington, D.C. do see a wisdom in them at least getting involved into the process in an area that doesn't affect our national security.
Martha McCallum was interviewing at a town hall, a boatload of Democrats, and some of the Democrats think that what's going on with the border national security declaration with Trump, that we're not doing enough. In fact, you listen to a couple of the Democrat females here. We're not doing enough to help out illegal aliens.
Democrats come to the table on a secure border. Democrats, you want to weigh in?
I think so. I think when it makes sense, when you do it in a humane way, you can't do it like separating children is just wrong.
And just something to add about the process. So I think maybe we should think about putting more money into our immigration infrastructure. So there court for people who are seeking asylum and coming here trying to become legal citizens, but when you have to wait 3 to 4 years, right, when you risk getting put in detention centers when you're declaring asylum, it's
immigration infrastructure. We've heard that one before.
It's ridiculous. And here's the deal. When you're talking about asylum, they are fleeing, apparently, political persecution. They're in fear of their safety. Why can't we put up a pool of countries that are willing to take them as opposed to all of them coming to America? And you know it's halfway bogus because they're coming all the way through Mexico, many of them originating in Central America. If they were fleeing persecution, why not just stay in Mexico?
Facebook users are leaving Facebook, according to a report as of today, where the majority of those are between the ages, 67% of those between ages 12 and 34 are leaving Facebook, but not based on some of my conservative friends who are ticked off because Facebook would delete your content. They're actually leaving over privacy concerns. But the group of people that don't care about the privacy, Facebook's had a 50% increase from those 55 and older who enjoy being on Facebook.
I think once they get to a certain age, it's probably more important for them to be able to keep up with their friends, remember all their grandkids' birthdays and that kind of thing. But when it comes to privacy of younger people, you know, I've always been concerned about Facebook privacy. First of all, it lists every single one of your friends. I don't want everybody in America to know who my friends are, you know, name by name.
All five of them, like me.
All five of them. And then being able to send them a message asking questions about me. That in and of itself is a risk.
President Trump's 2020 budget will be unveiled this week. $2.7 trillion over 10 years. We've heard, President Obama even talked about that. But according to the National Taxpayers Union, Maddie Doubler, she says, whatever party you're part, you know, Democrat or Republican, if we don't address the high debt and deficits right now, Democrats won't get money for their safety net programs, and Republicans won't get their money for national defense.
We are careening towards a cliff, and we don't know how to stop ourselves. Now, in some ways, it's alarming but not shocking that politicians have not started to use the national debt as an issue that they actually want to try and tackle. But frankly, if you look into the future, $22 trillion now, but a trillion every year after that, really starts to make a dent. And the reason that politicians should care about this is for both political reasons and realistic ones as well. One is that it destabilizes the future for all Americans. So if you're potentially a Republican or a conservative, who talks a lot about economic opportunity, those opportunities narrow as the debt continues to squeeze out other kinds of investment. But if you're a Democrat and you think the federal government should be spending on a lot of different programs, those priorities will also be undermined by the fact that the debt will take up a greater part of the federal budget.
Can I ask a question? Where are the Republicans right now? To a lot of my listeners, you like what President Trump does.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard on many of the radio shows. I was on the road this week, and I don't have much time to listen to the talk radio just because I'm busy. But I don't hear anybody under President Trump, as they did under Obama, and understandably so, complaining about the deficit. Let me ask you a question. Why haven't Republicans, I'm talking to you out there listening right now, at 222-TALK, 222-8255, as the Wall Street Journal asked the question last week, do debts and deficits don't matter to Republicans anymore? So my question is, why should they matter now, or why shouldn't they matter now?
I think it matters more when they're not in power, to be frank with you. And
yeah.
It almost makes you think, like, maybe they're not as honest about as being concerned about it when they're not in power. They're simply trying to, for lack of better terminology, attack the opposition with something that they could go after them for. But if they're in power, it's an entirely different ballgame.
Yeah, let me pose the question to you listening. Why haven't you said enough about the debt or deficits if you're conservative? And as a percentage of GDP, should we not be worried about it right now? Like to hear from you at 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is Talk Radio, WBOB.
If you're at I-95 South at Gulf Air, there's been a crash. We're counting at least three cars involved and a big problem on the west side. I-295 North at New Kings Road. An accident has all the lanes blocked.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods, and I have some interesting information if you're interested in owning a quality diamond. We did some research on the internet to see how diamonds price on various websites like Blue Nile. What we found were diamonds of the same weight, color, clarity, had pretty different prices. Generally, that has something to do with how the diamonds cut, but the only way to see these diamonds was to buy them. So we did a price comparison on the diamonds we could tell were nicely cut, and what we found was our prices for beautifully cut Underwood diamonds were the same as theirs. So if you're interested in diamonds and want real expert help, real quality and value, and don't want to pay just to look at a diamond, come by Underwoods. And remember, when a diamond comes from us, you get all the services, assurances, and guarantees the people of North Florida have learned to expect for over 80 years. At Underwoods, our brand is a promise, and it's one we keep. In San Marco, Avondale, and the shops of Ponte Vedra.
Cloudy today and warm. Our high will be 85 degrees. This evening, lots of rain and thunderstorms tonight. A low of 62. Right now, 65 at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed at wbob.com.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I mean, steps into it, says Ronald Reagan was full of racism when she... Reagan used the term, are you ready for this? Welfare queen back in the day.
Interests and the powerful have pitted white working class Americans against brown and black working class Americans in order to just screw over all working class Americans. Is Reaganism in the 80s when he started talking about welfare queens.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about this image, welfare queens. And what he was really trying to talk about was this, he was painting this photo, he's painting this like really resentful vision of essentially black women who were doing nothing, that were sucks on our country.
So that was a racial caricature. How many of y'all knew, and I'm going to ask you, I'm going to let you tell me, I already know, but for the audience out there, tell me where the term welfare queen came from. 222-TALK, 222-8255. David, hey David, good morning. You're on WBOB. What's going on this morning?
Good morning. I don't know the answer to that question, but AOC is the perfect example of the failure of the public school system. Just really, you wonder where her thoughts come from. Nothing makes sense. There is no sensibility. It's sad. It really is.
Yeah, but she was able to become a congresswoman.
Tell me where intelligence fits into that. Look at the rest of Congress.
You know what? That might be a demonstration of the public school system, not just with Cortez, but all the voters.
I set that one up for you, David.
Like I said, as far as I'm concerned, she was goaded into it by some drunk in New York.
Yeah, well, she got... Goaded or not, she became successful, yeah. So, 222-TALK, 222-8255. By the way, here's another AOC that we got over the weekend. Wait till you guys hear this. She says that she supports more of the government involvement. She says government and public-private partnership is a mistake. And number two, she says corporations are taking over the government.
You know, just as there's all of this fear-mongering that government is going to take over every corporation and government is going to take over every business or every form of production, we should be scared right now because corporations have taken over our government.
Really? What corporations? I mean, is there... Here's the question I'd like to ask you listening. If there is a need for corporations to take over government, where is it? And number two, can somebody tell me where the government is not involved in your daily life?
Here's the challenge.
They're involved in every sector, unfortunately.
Here's the challenge I believe those on the right need to really remember. Anytime the free market system doesn't work for everyone, people are going to be drawn to these socialist ideas. And I think right now, to answer your question, they're going after healthcare. And because not everyone is covered, not everyone can afford the premium.
Then you have to
premium.
Ask the question, why are they not working?
Yeah.
That's how you have to ask it.
That's a good question.
We should be wary of any entity in which both of those things are combined.
So she says we should not even have them combined. Folks, that means like when local, the city of Jacksonville, wherever you're listening, has a public-private partnership. That means government and private partners involved to become a betterment for the good of local kids programs or whatever. She's opposed to that. So what side do you think she sides on? More the government or more the private sector? 222-TALK, 222-8255 Talk Radio, WBOB.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Investigation into yesterday's deadly jetliner crash in Ethiopia is wrapping up, with crews having recovered one of the aircraft's black boxes. There is uncertainty over how much information the device will yield since it is damaged. The crash claimed the lives of 157 people. Congress gets President Trump's 2020 budget proposal today. The blueprint includes cuts in domestic spending, while military outlays would increase. The president also asking Congress for $8.6 billion for a border wall. That request sets up another showdown between Republicans and Democrats. Democrats staunchly oppose the wall. On Wall Street, stock futures are mixed. Right now, Dow futures are down about 208 points. While NASDAQ futures are up 18. S&P futures 2 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
We are seeing quite a few accidents on the roads this morning. They include Butler Boulevard West at Hodges, 295 North after New Kings Road, where all the lanes are shut down. 95 South at Gulf Air, an accident involving several cars. And I-10 East before US 17, there's a crash. You'll see that one on the right. Mostly cloudy and warm today. Our high will be 85 this evening. A strong chance of rain with thunderstorms. A low of 62. Right now, 65 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A proposed constitutional amendment that would raise Florida's minimum wage has cleared its first hurdle. President Trump's 2020 budget calls for trillions in cuts over 10 years. And over the last 2 years, more than 15 million people in the U.S. have quit using Facebook over privacy concerns.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed@wbob.com.
On Friday's show, we had our panel discussion. Our resident liberal, Claire Goforth, was on with us, and we asked the question, we got a lot of emails. I want to get to some of those today. Should the voting age be lowered from 18 to 16? For those of you, and I want to get to a lot of you emailed, and I want to get to some of the emails here. Just to remind you, Democrat Congresswoman Representative Ayanna Pressley said that we need to lower the age from 18 to 16 in the country.
Consideration Amendment number 127, which would lower the minimum voting age in federal elections from 18 to 16 years of age. At the age of 16, our young people have the opportunity and awesome responsibility to drive a vehicle, to gain employment, and even to pay taxes. However, because across this nation, young people are leading the way, which has been the case for every social movement throughout our history. They are organizing and mobilizing and calling us to action, making plain the high stakes the next generation faces, from gun violence to climate change to the future of work, to the solvency of Social Security.
Now, you notice she didn't say anything about young people being able to get a job through tax cuts or deregulation, mm-hmm. or be able to go to school choice, or, you know, have choose their own health care. We took a lot of calls and emails. I mean, we started that story around 6:30,
mm-hmm.
and they just would not stop lowering the voting age. Some people say here in Jacksonville that I got a lot of emails in this, Roger. A lot mm-hmm. of people said, well, hey, listen, why don't we let... I mean, I'll even read some for you. Here's one from Terrell. Ed, it's a city election, for crying out loud. Federal, I wouldn't allow lower the voting age to 16. But what about a local city election? What about, they think it's harmless for next week's election to drop the age from 18 to 16. What's the difference here if you did it federally or locally?
Here's the question people need to ask. Do you want the voters to be an educated voting population, or just want them vote because of the popularity contest or who looks better on TV? And to be frank with you, you know, maybe someone who's in the 10th grade isn't as up on the issues that are important for even their future as someone who is maybe a little bit more mature. And I think that's something that we need to consider.
So I was posing the question, are a lot of conservatives against lowering the voting age because it could be addressed young people, and young people, millennials, have a tendency by 60-70% to vote for liberal causes out there. And I wonder, is that the right way? A lot of people said that on Friday's show.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people said, hey, listen, I'm a conservative, but I think it should be based on the mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, some have been saying, like, here's one from Michael. Ed, I'm a big conservative, but I differ with some of the other callers on Friday's show. I think they're playing partisan politics. My question is, I understand the mentality. I think if we kept it that way, we could have a simplistic argument.
I do believe that the motivation for the Democrats to lower the voting age to 16 is a grab for votes.
I would agree.
Don't believe, though, that those on the right are concerned about how this is going to help the Democrats.
That's not what they all said on Friday.
I believe that it honestly has to do really more with them. Is a 16-year-old, is someone in 10th grade mature enough to understand the issues that they're voting on?
Well, they understand work.
I mean,
when they get trained to work in public or something like that.
Alexandria Cortez is 29 years old, and she doesn't get the issues.
Well, that's true. That's true on that one there. But here's the question. At 222-TALK, 904-222-8255. Remember when one of the guys running for Congress who didn't have a prayer, John Ward, mentioned it about a year ago, they're all Puerto Ricans who shouldn't be able to vote, and you called them out on the radio show. Said, no, they do have the right to vote. And some people even said, no, Ward's right. And I asked the question, wait, are you against what they're allowed to do, or... you may think they may vote for Democrats. A lot of people said, well, because they may vote for Democrats. That didn't happen last year.
Yeah.
So, again, we got to show a little bit of consistency. That's why I posed the question, do we lower the voting age? But the majority of those in the conservative aisle, I understand the mentality issue. I get that. But it's, well, they may vote the liberal way. Well, then some would say that would defeat their whole argument because one's going to vote for a party over the other.
Yeah. I think it would be a sad day if we lower the voting age to 16 in this country and let children elect the leaders of this country when they don't understand and grasp the issues.
Now, see, that's a valid point. That's a valid point right there. Here's one from Francisco. I'm wondering a lot of these emails. Francisco says, it's kind of hypocrite from the crowd that raised the minimum age to buy some weapons from 18 to 21. Now they say, well, we're mature enough to vote at 16.
Hmm.
How do you like that one there? Here's one from Joe. Will they be able to buy alcohol or a firearm at 16?
I hope not.
Because some are asking, okay, where's the consistency on that one? Here's one from Jeff. He says, when it we talked about the issue about the Bible, I mean, we just blew up on phones on Friday, but they said when it comes to the issue about the Bible being taught as an elective in the schools, here's one from Jeff. He says, when it comes to schools teaching Christianity, why not? Think about it. They got classes on everything else now. He says, but then again, where do you draw the line on political ideology out there? Do you know who the biggest proponents and opponents are in the same ballpark? Are conservatives on the issue of whether or not, not the liberals don't want any type of teaching in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
They've already admitted that last week. Even just as an elective, the ACLU all is going to be is only to Christianity.
But what's so interesting is that a Democrat representative in Tallahassee was the one who introduced the bill, Kimberly Daniels.
Out of Jacksonville. But you've got a lot of those that attend church that sit back and say, well, we need to put it in the schools based on morality. And we took just as many phone calls from people to say, yep, I attend church.
Uh-huh.
They can't even teach certain things right. I don't even want them talking about the Bible. I want my kid to learn about the basics.
Yeah, well, you know, the fact of the matter is at one point the Bible was taught in schools and we had probably a less violent culture in our country at that time. And I think it's probably the concern a lot of people do have.
Oh, man. Here's one from William. He says, I never thought I would say this, but I agree with the liberal lawyer, Claire, on some of the issues right now. Here's one from Mike. He says, Ed, he goes, wait a second. You can join the military at 17, but you must be 18 to finish the advanced individual training, job skill training. 16-year-olds can't join. Draft starts at 18. I think they were talking about the ages there.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one from Michelle, another Michelle here. She says, "Are we gonna? Why don't we just lower the cigarette age to the 16 then? If they're smart enough to vote, maybe they're smart enough to whether or not to smoke or not.
You know, if you're smoking at all, you're not very smart, regardless of your age, in my view. But interestingly, believe it or not, you can become a pilot in America at the age of 15.
Interesting.
Fly an airplane.
222-TALK, 222-8255, TALK Radio, WBOB.
If you're on 95 South on the ramp to Gulf Air, there's a crash there involving at least three cars. 10 East at US 17, another wreck there. If you're at 95 South before at Bay Meadows, a broken down car. And big problem on the west side, 295 North after New Kings. An accident there has all the lanes blocked this morning.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. For the longest time, I've wanted to come out with the world's most comfortable bed sheets. But up until now, I haven't been able to find anything that held up to my high standards. I've finally found the best cotton in the world in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all come together to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. My new Giza Dream bed sheets are made with this long staple cotton, and I guarantee they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. The first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
The Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors, and like all of Mike's products, they come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Right now, you can get your very own by calling 800-950-9024 and use promo code WBOB to get 30% off plus free shipping.
Ever wonder why Europeans seem to speak so many languages? Is it because they use Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in Europe? Babbel's award-winning technology gets you speaking right away, whether you're learning Spanish, French, or German. And best of all, you'll remember what you've learned.
I always thought I was bad at languages, but after using Babbel, I can tell you I was just taught the wrong way.
Using Babbel's 10 to 15 minute lessons, you can be speaking confidently in your new language within weeks.
I was amazed that I could start having real life conversations right away. It was so fast. Now I'm speaking Spanish. Woohoo!
No wonder Babbel is the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Try it for yourself and see why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language, like Spanish, French, or more. You can try Babbel for free. Go to Babbel.com or download the app and try it for free. That's Babbel, B-A-B-B-E-L.com, or download the app to try it for free. That's Babbel.com.
It'll be a cloudy day, but warmer. The high will be in the mid-80s. This evening, we're expecting lots of rain with thunderstorms early in the evening. Overnight, the low 62, and right now, 64 WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Democrats propose breaking up high-tech monopolies. The latest jobs report was weaker than expected, but economists say that 2019 is still a good year for the consumer. And the DeSantis administration says they're looking at ways to cut the red tape when it comes to occupational licensing in Florida.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
I believe in the Constitution, and the Constitution gives us the authority and the responsibility to decide whether or not a president is acting in the best interest of his country. This president is not. As far as I'm concerned, he has enough violations. He's been involved in a lot of activity that we believe needs to be made apparent. And so I believe that we have everything that it needs to basically impeach him.
That's Maxine Waters, Democrat for California. She says, yeah, the president should be impeached because he's undermined the Constitution. Hasn't told you where. No. I mean, Charlottesville, I'm sorry. But anyways, if you want to talk about somebody who's undermined the Constitution, you could, I mean, Democrats, yeah, but right. You could wipe away 70, 80% of Congress out there.
And Maxine Waters has had her own, you know, ethics investigations yeah. against her in the past, to be honest with you.
Here's one from Sheila. She says, I agree with the Congresswoman. He has undermined the Constitution. Ed, you ask where? What about what's going on with his comments about Robert Mueller? What about his comments to Michael Cohen's family? What about the obstruction of justice to that of Jim Comey? All right. Here's another one from Tia. She says, President Trump's attitude towards illegal aliens about not allowing them due constitutional process undermines our own Constitution.
Wait, hold on a minute. So you're saying that illegal
That's
aliens
what she's saying.
Have constitutional rights as American citizens?
Yeah, I'm trying to find out the reason why they right. should have more of that.
You learn something every day.
Yeah, here's one from Jillian. She says, you know, when I listen to Alexandria Cortez talk about how she doesn't even want to see a private-public partner relationship, Ed, I work for the government here locally, and despite that some people may not like the government's use of their people's lives, she says, the government here locally welcomes more of the private sector mm-hmm. to get involved when it comes to helping out people.
For every form of production, we should be scared right now because corporations have taken over our government. And then we should be wary of any entity in which both of those things are combined.
Here's one from Cicely. She says, as I'm a Democrat, I kind of like some of the views by AOC, but I don't have a problem with a public-private partnership as long as we rein in those private companies. Oh, well, there you go.
Well, here it is. Former Jacksonville Alvin Brown did a whole lot of good things for the Jaguars. He put up the Jumbotrons, and maybe that would be something that Cortez would have been opposed to.
Because
that was a government private public partnership that got the Jumbotrons put up.
Pick up the job. I was looking for something a little bit more intelligent there, right? But I'm just kidding with you. I'm kidding with you on
Thank
that
you
one
very
here.
Much.
Here's one from Ron. He says, on the issue of a private-public partnership, he says, Ed, you ask where do we need more? He says, we're not getting enough when it comes to our education. They talk about, you know, Elizabeth Warren breaking up monopolies. Ed, who do you think the biggest monopoly in the state is? It's the government. Who do you think the biggest monopoly when it comes to agriculture, as you said? The gasoline tax beneficiary, education, and the other areas, it's all the government out there. So some people saying that, you know, you do need some, you don't need some. Here's one from Sheila. She says, what we need less of in the state of Florida, Ed, if it's a public-private partnership, we need less private for our education sector. We need more government. We're not getting enough.
Really?
Wow.
What kind of results is the government education? I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing, but you know, a little competition doesn't hurt anyone, including the government public schools.
Here's another one. I mean, a lot of females this morning. Here's one from Julie. She says, you know, I don't know if I want more private partnership with the government, especially when it comes for all these for-profit groups out there trying to make a back, trying to make a dollar off the back of my child at our public schools.
Hmm.
So, again, there we go into the myth that if you want to be for... By the way, you understand what profit, if we're non-profit, is, it's just more of a tax technicality.
Most of the private schools are non-profit organizations.
Yeah, it's for tax purposes.
Yeah.
Even non-profits make a buck. You have to make a buck.
They make enough to stay in business and to pay their employees.
Well, that's, you have to make a buck.
Yeah.
So, here on that one. Here's one from James. He says, you know, when you hear the left, like your guest, Claire, Ed, talks about how we don't want for-profit entities running any part of our government out there, as you and Roger pointed out, doesn't government have to make a profit in order to sustain and brag about being part of a balanced budget state and having a surplus?
Absolutely they do. And that was part of the reason why the Postal Service didn't get shut down during the government shutdown, because they are able to operate, you know, pretty solvent without government extra money that your stamps don't pay for.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to.
I don't know if I buy into that one there, right there. Ed and Roger, I enjoy listening to you in the morning, but I wholeheartedly disagree with you on the issue of whether or not government's involved in our lives. I don't like any part of the government entity whatsoever. Okay, well, listen, I'm just asking the question. Government's always going to be involved. The question is how much do you want it? What is the role for more public-private partnership? Here's one. Here's another one. From Jensen, he says, I enjoy both the radio show with you and Roger. I think Mayor Linda Curry's done a good job. I mean, sure, the mayor's going to have more government involvement to maybe help fight crime. But he says, one area where I think the mayor could do a better job is to bring more of the private sector in, mm-hmm. along with the government, in order to turn around some of the poor black communities here in Jacksonville.
The government has been doing that, to be frank with you.
And they said he wants more private partnership.
Even more of the private? Well, for example, let's take a look at the Katrina Brown hot sauce business. That was supposed to be what that was for, although there was, you know, some things that are questionable right now that the courts are looking into. So... You know, the fact that they're trying, the solar panel company, they were actually, you know, partnering with the government.
Here's one from Thomas. Ed, I saw the debate last week. You and Roger always ask issues I wish moderators would ask. I'm a big fan of Kent Justice. But he says nobody really asked about the homeless. And Ed, as you have pointed out, the mayor can technically run, not technically, but he can run successfully on the way the economy is. But I would like to hear more about private partnership instead of the government partnership. Here's one from Joshua. He says, Ed, the perfect example of a private-public partnership, again, that's public with the government involved and private with the private sector, mm-hmm. he said, Shad Khan and the Jacksonville Jaguars and what he wants to propose for downtown Jacksonville.
Okay, yeah. And to be frank with you, the private sector very often has the most innovative and creative ideas, more so than the government could come up with.
Here's one from Stanley. He says, why do I want the private sector to be involved in the government sector if the government's just going to want to try to get their hands more into the private sector? Okay, I kind of get that one right there. Here's one from Jerry. She says, always enjoy listening to you guys on the road, taking my kids to school. You guys keep everything so clean. Thank you very much. We tried that one right there. Here's one from Gunster. Okay. Here's one from Gunster. He says, I think a public-private partnership is the right way to go. If we had people like Lisa Kang, the Democrats, and AOC's vision, we wouldn't have any Jacksonville football stadium here.
Oh, no,
we wouldn't have the jumbo shrimp. We wouldn't be having those when it comes to other companies moving here and other sports divisions when it comes to ice hockey.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the point, you know, I was making earlier. People like to write into the show a lot, which is good. They can call too, by the way.
222-TALK, 222-8255, TALK Radio, WBOB.
If you're at 95 South at the Gulf Air Boulevard exit, there's been a wreck involving at least three cars. 10 East before Stockton, another accident. Looks like three cars involved there. Police Road Ranger now on the scene. Butler Boulevard west at Hodges, a wreck. And at 295 going north at New Kings Road, an accident that has lanes closed.
The Cal Thomas Commentary is brought to you by Values Through Media. Now here's syndicated columnist Cal Thomas.
This is why the national debt will never be reduced. Listen carefully. The use-it-or-lose-it mentality of federal agencies led them to spend the balance of their budgets at the end of the last fiscal year on lobsters, pianos, golf carts, and other non-essentials. The fear is Congress might cut their budgets if they don't spend it all. The watchdog group Open Books discovered $163,636 was spent on paintbrushes. A better deal might have been found at a hardware store. Various federal agencies spent $721,661 on pianos. Our money, $1.6 million of it, went to golf carts, and that was just in September during the final days of the fiscal year. While it is true that entitlement programs cost the most and Congress refuses to reform them, items like these should infuriate taxpayers and demonstrate how irresponsible federal agencies and Congress have become. Democrats are again talking about raising taxes, but how would more revenue solve this problem? I'm Cal Thomas.
For a free copy of today's commentary, visit calthomas.com or write us at Values Through Media, P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. That's P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. Please specify the date and subject. Your tax-deductible gifts to Values Through Media help support us. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time. So that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief. I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
It's mostly cloudy today and a high of 85. It is going to be warm. Lots of rain, though, to cool us off this evening with a low of 62. Right now, 65 here at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
We'll get some more calls here in just a moment at 222-TALK, 904-222-8255. Several of you are advocating more of the need for less government intervention. Some of you say, no, we need more government intervention with the public-private partnership. AOC doesn't like both. Interesting. Hey, James, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning.
Hey.
I really worry about partnerships, especially when we have instances of Solyndra, the GM bailout. Every time it seems to be a partnership between government and the private sector, the big losers are the American taxpayer. And the people who profit are the ones that are running. Like your Shad Khan with the city of Jacksonville. He seems like a great guy, but in the end, he's going to be the one making out with the landing if there's a giant real estate development deal. And so is the city through tax revenue. But who's the one who has to develop the infrastructure? The taxpayers. So we're really the ones on the hook. When it comes to GM, big government bailouts, you have the private sector getting money from the government, and then the government turns around and gets money back from the private sector in taxpayer-funded campaign contributions. It just seems like a giant scam.
Right, but I think, and not to disagree with you, I think what some are advocating is that, I mean, the government can't continue to do it all, so they feel more compelled that we need to be more of the private sector involved. The benefit, they say, is for the collective good, but I mean, I think that could be debatable on however you want to look at it, depending on what partnership they want to agree to.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I think the private sector should be more involved. I mean, the government, the whole purpose of this country was founded on the individual's rights and not the government's rights and individual freedoms. And when you enter into the private sector with individuals running it and not the government, I think there's more freedom for everybody.
All right. So there you go. I mean, are we getting too broad here with the term of private-public partnership? I know they're trying to do more here by bringing it. I just wonder, are we bringing more of the private sector because government can't do it all? Mm-hmm. Evidently, they don't want to bring in more of the private sector. They don't want to bring more of the private sector when it comes to education. But yet when they farm it out, you ever notice that government has no problem with farming out garbage service? Mm-hmm. When it comes to cafeteria, even some of our lawn and maintenance, we have some of our schools in so many states that are farming it out to the private sector.
You know, every time they buy curriculum, buy books, that's actually private sector.
Great point.
You know, produced.
Yeah, well, it's government money, but I know
government money. Yeah.
Hey, Morgan. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Ed. You know, it's a really odd day when a free market capitalist like myself agrees with Alexandria Ocasio about anything.
Oh,
oh my God in heaven! But generally speaking, and I do mean generally speaking, I agree with her point that with her objection to private public partnerships because, in a broad sense. That is a type of economics. It's called fascist economics. Okay, now I that's just the economic form of fascism. But now, when you get specifically, you mentioned the books, Ed, right?
What I mentioned? Books? No, Roger did.
Oh, Roger. Well, now that's a good point.
Yeah, this is the textbooks.
Oh, wait, wait. Hold on. Were you complimenting? Yeah, I'm the one who came up with that idea. Never mind. Go ahead. I'm kidding.
Take the credit, Ed. Go ahead.
To the extent that government is in charge of things that they shouldn't be absolutely in charge of, like the government education system, those private, quote-unquote, intrusions are always to the benefit of the taxpayer. They always work out better, okay? So there's some places where I guess it's due, where it works out, like private education works better than public education, and farming out the textbooks and a number of things work better in private hands.
Let me see. Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I mean, but what I've always been curious about, Morgan, is that we have, for our public schools, we have them on local, you have like a citizen budget review committee, or you have a PTA, a parents, teacher, or whatever association, and how many times have you always seen that the government always overrules what the parent, who's the private sector, or like a citizen review committee, where they come out and say, no, we could cut certain elements here in city council, and yet nobody ever seems to adhere to what the private sector ever says.
Right. Now, that to me, that's the power of the teachers' unions, and they have to be disbanded.
Right. I got to run. I'm not disagreeing with you. I mean, it's the power of the teachers. But, I mean, we always want private, public. Well, then why can't we get more of the private sector instead of public? Hmm. I think the public sector, for years that we've covered, Roger, is more as a, I don't want to say a fakeness by Democrats to sit back and show that we're not that liberal. We got private sector involvement here, like Obamacare, mm-hmm. so that they're not way off far left. I think that's kind of used as a scapegoat. So anyway, hey, we're thankful to God every day for this radio show. Thankful to all of you that tune in. We'll be set and ready to go tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Roger, they can always go to WBOB.com, read up on the shows throughout the rest of the day. They can download the app. Listen to us anywhere you would like. Go to our Facebook page. Also, Facebook.com/600WBOB. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. on Talk Radio WBOB. No more,